You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by D-Lee. Today we are talking about the Canon RF 85mm F2 IS STM lens review. As always, this is going to be a very casual chat about what I think of the lens. I'm going to follow a different format to the review. So review, I try to keep it a bit shorter, a bit more casual. And if you think it's long, I understand for some people it is long. But for me, that's actually short. If you look at some of my other reviews, they're around 2,000 or more words. This one, I managed to keep it around 1,000, which was a challenge for me, but yeah, I'm practicing. So what I'm going to do is start off with the review. So what we're going to do is going to talk about 85mm focal length for me and what ones I've owned. So for me, I always see the 85mm focal length as the telephoto version of the 35mm. So 35 is considered wide and it's a very general purpose lens. It's not too narrow for landscapes. You can still use it a lot, but it's not too wide that you can't do nice portraits that don't really distort the features too much, say such as a 24. I feel that for the 85mm, it's very versatile in its working distance, so it's good for both indoors and outdoors. Depending on what aperture lens you get, it can be really good as well in terms of background separation and, subject separation sort of thing, isolating your subject, really bringing attention to them. It's also not too long to do cityscapes and landscapes and that, which I've included quite a few photos of that nature in the review because that's, generally what I shoot. So in terms of what lenses I've owned, so my very first 85mm was the Sigma 85mm f1.4EX HSM lens, so the original non-art lens. I love that lens. I only sold it because I moved to Sony and I wanted something native, so yeah, I ended up selling that. I didn't like the 85mm art HSM, the DSLR lens, because it was just insanely big, it's insanely heavy. Unrealistic in my opinion for an 85mm f1.4, it doesn't need to be that big. So I never ended up getting that. Instead, I got the Sony FE 85mm f1.8. It was a very nice lens, very small, compact, very sharp, great for the price, which was fairly low. You can get it for about 600 AED, even less obviously USD. But it just didn't have the rendering. The rendering wasn't there. It's okay, but it just didn't have any of that unique characteristic to it. It's just a very clinical digital look, as some people call it. I ended up selling that for the Samyang AF 85mm FE 1.4 on Sony. I like that lens better in terms of rendering, but the build quality I wasn't really convinced on. I don't know how long it would last in the long term, and I want something that will last in the long term. This is going to sound stupid reason, but the way it rendered the specular highlights as well, I didn't quite like. They're a bit too weird lemon cat eye shaped. Well, bad cat eye shaped anyway. I don't mind a little cat eye, but this was bad cat eye. So I ended up getting rid of that because the Sigma released the 85mm f1.4 DN art. So their mirrorless only version of the 85mm DSLR one. And that lens was phenomenal. More on that later, but yeah, that was the last one I owned before selling that and switching back to Canon and getting this lens. Now, what do I use this lens for? So general purpose. So I'd use it for street photography. If I do portraits, which I don't do often, if it was, it would pretty much be me or my girlfriend only because, I don't shoot portraits or don't do any professional work and that sort of stuff. I also do a lot of still life and product photography. That's where I really mainly use it. The minimum focusing distance really comes in handy. For those that don't know, it's got a 35cm minimum focusing distance. You find with most 85mm lenses, like all the previous ones I mentioned, they're all around 80 to 85 centimeters is the minimum focusing distance. For portraits, no issue. It's, works. But when it comes to stuff like, still life and product shots, sometimes you want to get in really close, especially if it's a smaller object, which is not possible with that longer MFD. I just call it MFD. Whereas with this one, it is. So it has a lot more uses in that regard. And I do a little bit of macro because, it has the macro capability. It's not a full 1-to-1 macro. It's a 1-to-2 macro, 0.5 times magnification. So it'll do it. It just won't do it as well as something, say, like the RF 100mm f2.8L or, I don't think there's really any third-party autofocus options or ones that I can say off the top of my head that I know. Otherwise, that, obviously, yeah, like I mentioned as well, landscapes, cityscapes, that kind of stuff, you can pretty much use this focal length for anything. To be honest, any lens you can sort of use for almost anything. It's more just your creativity and how you manage to work it in there. Some people use lenses like a 16 to 35 at 16 millimeters just for portraits, and they look fantastic as well. It's really about how you create it and what your vision is. But otherwise, that's pretty much what I use the lens for. So now, what it might be wanted for, I think when most people buy an 85 millimeter lens, they do want it for portraits. Maybe some people want the occasional landscapes, but a focal length like this is generally for portraits. I think with this aperture though of f2, it is considered a bit slow. Usually most lenses, 85s are f1.8 or f4, even f1.2 if you're lucky enough to be able to afford one of those. So it may not appeal to all portrait photographers, but at that focal length, it's what, you know, if you search what is 85 millimeter best for, portraits are the main thing that you will see. You won't see anyone recommending street or that kind of stuff. So now time to get onto the actual lens itself. So what I think of all. So the first would be image quality, specifically stuff like sharpness. So for sharpness, I have zero complaints. This lens is very, very sharp. I own all RF primes. So I got the 35, the 15, the 85. It would be very hard to pick a winner, like, you know, which one's sharper between this and the 35. I'd say they're very, very close. In fact, yeah, I think they'd probably be nearly equal to each other. They're both definitely sharper than the 50. The 50 is not soft by any means, but it's not, you know, super sharp and something that will blow your mind away with how good it is. Corner-wise, this is where I don't really like doing technical reviews because I'm not the type to pixel peep and, you know, zoom into every corner, that kind of stuff. I don't even check it. All I know is when I've edited the images, I have had no issues with sharpness. Whether it be in the center of the corner, I don't notice any softness. Like, say, for example, when I used to own the Canon EF 17-40, you could see in the corners that lens was softer. Whereas when I've shot cityscapes and everything with this, I don't see that issue with this lens. At minimum focusing distance, obviously it's a bit harder to tell because the depth of field is so short, but I didn't see any issues with that as well. So I shoot very different style compared to most people. I know most people, if they're shooting at minimum focus distance for macro stuff, they probably stop down to anywhere between f8 to f16 if they want to make the most of the lens without worrying about diffraction, whereas I'd still be fairly wide open, mainly because I'm doing it for different uses. But in terms of, yeah, sharpness, I would have no issues. I honestly don't really notice much CA or any of that kind of stuff. I shoot with in-camera corrections on, and I have them automatically applied in case anyway when they're imported into Lightroom, so I never noticed that kind of issue. So obviously if it was very severe CA or anything, you'd notice it. Whereas I don't believe I've ever had that issue with this lens. I have seen it in other lenses, but thankfully this one is not one of those. In terms of rendering, I do quite like the rendering on this lens. I'd say it's nicer than the Sony FE85mm f1.8, definitely. But you'll find that, you know, each one has their advantages. I do find that even though it's an f2 lens, you can still get quite a nice shallow depth of field for portraits or street photography. In the review, you'll see there's a few examples of some street photos. It's not that super soft, dreamy background that you'll really get from something like a f1.4, especially the Sigma 85 or anything, or even the f1.2. But it is decent. I think for half body, it's really good. Full body, it's still, you know, you could do better, but it's still quite nice. In terms of the bokeh, so that one I actually quite like. So you'll find when you look at the photos in the review, it does have a quite nice transition from in focus to out of focus. The shape of the specular highlights, the bokeh balls, they're not super round like you would get, say, on the 85mm GM lens, which has 11 aperture blades. But at the same time, it's not really bad, like a super cat's eye. For example, I believe the RF51 II doesn't have that super, super round ones, but it is quite nice. It does have a little bit of a cat's eye look to it, but it's sort of, maybe not cat's eye, more of a lemon. It's sort of more circular on the ends, not very sharp, straight line, if you sort of get what I mean. Either way, I'm happy with it. I liked those better than I did on the Samyang when I owned that on Sony. Is it ideal? The best I've seen? Definitely not. That would go to the Sigma 85mm f1.4. That's still my favorite lens. And yeah, as I said, more of that a bit later on. In terms of autofocus, now this one, this is not where it's definitely doesn't excel in this area. If there's anywhere it excels, it's the image quality, because I have no complaints there. The STM motor. So these stepping motors, I do not like them. I really wish Canon, even if it meant a few hundred dollars more, went with a nano USM. So if you look at something like the Canon RF 100 to 400 f5.6 to f8 lens, the USM motor in that is amazing. It's super fast, super silent. Even like with this lens, because, you know, it's like a semi macro, I don't care so much about the speed if you need it to go slower because, you know, it's got a long range to go from a short MFD to infinity, but it's more the actual noise of it. It's really irritating. STM motors are definitely loud, and the one they put in pretty much all the RF primes, the 35, 50, and the 85, it's really, yeah, it's not good. Speed-wise, I find there's no real major issue. Like when you'll see the street photography photos, there's people walking quite quick, and I was just shooting servo, but one shot, not trying to shoot in burst or in a continuous or anything to really improve it, but had no issues with tracking. Managed to track people's face and eyes, no issue. Get my images tack sharp, no issue as well. So in that regard, AF is really good. It's more just, it could be better with those nano USM motors. If Canon ever do release, you know, Mark IIs of these kind of lenses, which to be honest, I don't want. I would rather them go a different route, which I'll explain a bit after, but I hope they use nano USM and they stop using these STM motors. Now here comes the sort of more tricky part. So is this lens worth it? So depending, obviously, where you are, it's going to cost different for everyone. I'll just cover. It's currently like $1,098 AUD on sale for $1,048, I believe, AUD on sale, or $599 USD. Considering what options you have natively in RF, not adapted, no nothing, it's probably one of your better options. Is it worth it in the long run? That's another thing. It all really comes down to, you know, at the current moment, it's a pretty good option. I wouldn't say it's a bad option, but I don't know if I'd be like an astounding, this is a lens you have to have. Like for example, the RF 35mm, that lens is absolutely amazing. I would definitely highly, highly recommend that. Once I do my review, I will. And although I have very limited use of it, the RF 100 to 400mm, that one as well, that one is really impressive in use. It doesn't sound that great because of the slow aperture, but it really, really makes up for an image quality, autofocus speed, build size, everything. It's phenomenal about that lens as well. This lens, I can't really say anything that's really phenomenal, like aside from the minimum focusing distance. That is something that most 85s don't do, especially first party lenses, that I really like and I really appreciate about this lens. In saying that, it's also something I don't appreciate because recently, well, late last year, I've stopped for a bit because yeah, I've been quite busy, but I'm hoping to get into it soon. Can't keep making excuses after all, but Flickr have a group called Macro Mondays. So, you know, each Monday they have a different theme. Through the week, you have to shoot it. Then you post your photo on the Monday and the Tuesday, I think, or whatever it is, that sort of thing. So I started using this lens a lot more for macro work. And the more I used it, the more I wish I had that longer focal length, you know, something at least like 100 millimeters or longer, as well as that better reproduction ratio, you know, of 1:1 or better magnification as well. Because of that, it sort of made me really want a different sort of lens, and especially for portraits or even street photography. I like full body stuff. I don't like upper body kind of thing. So, because I like to give context about the scenery. Some people may say, why don't you go for something wide like a 35mm? Because the look of a 35mm full body is not the same look of an 85mm full body. There's more compression with the 85mm. It gives a very, very different look. So I like the look of telephoto lenses with full body. The longer it is, say like you get a 135, 1.8, do full body, it looks amazing. It's just got this real nice depth about it. So I found the more I use this lens, although I enjoy it, it just makes me miss what I owned more. And what I owned was that, you know, Sigma 85mm f1.4. So in the terms of would I keep it in the long term, I honestly don't think I would. So what my current plan is, which I don't see myself changing, is once Sigma, hopefully soon, well, kind of hopefully, kind of not, because, you know, I've got other stuff I want to spend my money on. But once they release their DN lenses on Canon RF and Z mount, I plan to sell this lens and get the RF 85mm f1.4, which would be for my portraits, my street photography, my general walk around that I want an 85mm for. That'll be for all that. Whereas when it comes to the macro and the product stuff, I want to get the Sigma 105mm f2.8 DN lens. So, you know, some people say you can get these lenses in DSLR mount, but I don't want to mess with EF gear. I don't want to mess with DSLR gear because I just want purely RF mount, purely made for mirrorless, smaller, lighter stuff. Obviously, they're not always small and lighter mirrorless lenses, but if you look at stuff such as, like I mentioned, the Sigma one, that Sigma 85 1.4, amazing sharpness, amazing image quality, but it's literally like half the size of the DSLR version. So it's sort of a tough choice, but there's nothing about this lens that would make me really want to keep it. That Sigma lens almost had me tempted to keep and stick with Sony purely so I could use that one lens. It wasn't even a Sony lens. So that's why I was happy to go back to Canon, because I like the majority of lenses on Canon better, like the bodies better. But I was only sticking with them for those third party gear, which is, you know, hopefully come out in Canon one day. And then when it does, I'll have everything I want. I see the RF 85mm being sort of a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And although, you know, it's good for what it does, it's good for its price, you can get better things. So obviously, like I said, the 85mm art, that one can't do such short focal distances. But when you eBay have their 20% off sales, I can get that for maybe $50 max more than what I pay for this Canon lens. And to me personally, it's just my opinion, but that Sigma 85mm art is a much better lens. Not to say this is a bad lens. If your creativity is there, you can get everything you want from it. It's more just that is the better lens. That's what's got my heart, that lens. It has a certain look. Maybe this is well the rendering as well, but yeah, just something about that Sigma lens that just, yeah, this cannot replicate what I felt for that lens. Makes it sound like I'm talking about a love interest or something, but it's really just a camera gear. I could make a joke about that, but yeah, I'll keep it PG. So, but that's pretty much it in terms of this lens. If I had to give it a rating out of, say, 10, I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10, maybe. I'd say it's the areas, the pros are obviously the minimum focusing distance, the price, you know, and also the image quality. It does have really good image quality for what it does. But then the areas of letdown is the autofocus and technically the price as well, because if, you know, third party options were available, they'd be more attractive in a lot of a sense. And also, you know, for the build quality, which I forgot to mention, is it's sort of like a plastic. It's just like every other RF lens you've sort of felt. It doesn't feel that cheap, but it doesn't feel that great either. At 500 grams, it's not too bad. The Sigma 85mm DNR, that one was about 650 grams, so not that much heavier. But it's the f1.4 lens and it's around roughly the same size as well. So, but that felt very solid in its build. So yeah, it's a tough choice. But if you currently have a Canon body and you must get an RF lens, you can't afford the 1.2. I don't know about that Viltrox f1.8, whether it'd be any good. I've heard very mixed stuff about the autofocus from what I've seen from some reviews. So this will probably be my top recommendation for now until Sigma release that. Hopefully this year. Rumors say that Sigma will address the RF mount this year. If they can just bring out some of those lenses, it'll be very greatly appreciated. They're going to sell a ton, but I honestly think they're just waiting for the chip shortage to end. That's why they said this year, because originally everyone reckoned early this year it will be ending. Now it's looking at least end of this year. You know, a lot of companies, time to buy stocks or buy some index funds, because once those companies can, you know, Canon produce fully, Sony, Nvidia, you know, Sony technically for PlayStation as well. But once all these tech companies can start producing to the full again, you will see their value go up a lot. And hopefully then we'll get a lot more products. Like rumors are that Canon's going to release three or four more new RF mount bodies in the end of 22. So it looks like everyone is betting on that end of year for things to go back to normal. So maybe we'll have to wait out the rest of the year. Then we'll finally see these RF Sigma lenses by then. But, you know, who knows? It's all your guess is as good as mine. Well, thank you very much for listening to this review. I hope it gives any further clarification. If you have any further questions, please make sure to leave a comment on the article link, which will be linked in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find it at thephotographerenthusiast.com. Reach out to me at Twitter at photosbydoe. If you have any other questions, feel free to shoot me a DM. If you have, got a long question or send me an email, happy to answer any questions. Well, thank you very much for listening and see ya.